Well, tempting as it was to take a run at our Old Testament lesson this morning, and the parable of the talents, of course, has got endless possibilities. My biggest problem with the parable of the talents is that most discussions I've heard of it, I think, are wrong, and I don't want to be another one of those. And so instead, on this, the second last Sunday before the end of this liturgical year, I found myself going back again and again to Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, to 1 Thessalonians. And what came out of it, as much as anything, was the question that is the sermon title, do we need to know when? And it's a question that I sometimes wonder how many other eras of church history would even bother to have asked. I've done some reading on my own, and obviously when I was in college and seminary, we had history classes and all that, and it seems to me that this deep desire to know exactly when Christ is going to come back sort of comes and goes throughout the church, and for the most part, in the majority of church history, it's just not a question at all. Nobody even bothers to ask, which is hard for me to understand, because I grew up in this era where it was very important. I can still clearly remember Sunday evening services when things were a little more relaxed, when my dad didn't have to wear a tie if he didn't want to, although he always did anyway, where women didn't have to wear skirts. That's how old I am. You all remember this even better than I do. But, you know, your mother might show up in a nice-looking pantsuit instead of a skirt or a dress. And we would get movies, and we would get guest speakers. And often we had discussions or something about sort of end times. It seemed to be an important thing. And what I take from this text is not it's not that at all. What I take from this text is Paul talking about the end times, almost asking us if we need to know when Christ returns. And what the point that Paul seems to make is that we know what this is going to be, but we don't know when, and we don't really seem to know, and we don't need to. And I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but a friend of mine a long time ago in this whole area said that if knowing that the exact moment that Christ returns, that when God wraps up history, whatever that's going to look like, and we all have different interpretations of that, and we're not entirely sure, but whatever it is, if we know exactly when that happens, if that knowledge changes what we're doing today, we're not doing what we should be doing anyway. As far as I'm concerned, the end times, I'm pretty sure, I mean, now that I'm into my 50s, I'm pretty sure the end times are going to be within the next 40 years. Because that's when I'm going to end. Like, I don't think I'm going to get much more than another 40 years. I hope I do, but, you know, making it into my 90s, that would be something. And then I'll be done. And then time will end, as far as I'm concerned. So sometime in the next 40 years, that will happen. Does that mean anything for my kids or anything else? Well, it means lots as far as that goes, but it doesn't mean anything as far as their interaction with God or with God coming back. What difference does it make when? What Paul talks about is that we know Christ is coming. We know that the world that we live in, beautiful as it is, wonderful as it is, filled with such great things, is still fundamentally broken. It's fallen. That with the introduction of sin, the world is no longer as it was intended to be. And while we don't really understand all of that, we don't understand, at least I don't understand exactly why God lets things go the way that they do. But we know it makes sense to God. We know that at some point, he's going to wrap it up in a way that will make sense to all of us. That's a comfort to us. If the world just continued on forever, without ever any summation, whether it's on the global or universal scale that we see in Revelation, or in our own personal sense when our own journey here ends, the fact that it makes sense to God lends meaning to what we do. Which is sometimes frustrating. At least it frustrates me and it frustrates other people that I know. Because we want the meaning now. We want to understand it now. We want to understand that the suffering we're going through means something, and we want to know what it means. And sometimes we do. Or at least sometimes in retrospect, we look back on things that we never would have chosen. That if we were given the option between going through that particular unpleasant thing or not, we would always choose not. And yet we look at that experience and we see the growth that came out of it. We see that it has made us the person we are today, and we wouldn't give up the person we are today. So while we wouldn't choose that experience, we see the meaning in it. Well, all of our lives are going to have that same kind of meaning. They do already to God. No matter how random and how meaningless some of the things that happen in our lives seem to be, they still make sense to God. And we need to depend on that rather than insisting on the meaning that we have here. It's much like when we deal with our children. Our children want to know when things are going to happen. This is completely normal. And they want them to happen soon. Also completely normal. It depends on the age of your children, of course, but there's a period of time when your children are convinced that you and the calendar are in a conspiracy to make their lives miserable by delaying their birthday or Christmas or whatever it is, because every day they get up and it's only one day closer. Fix that. What's wrong with you? Yeah. I can still remember all of my kids at one point or another just asking that question about whatever they're waiting for. You know, to school break or Christmas is a big one. How long till Christmas? Well, yesterday was 17 days. Today it's 16 days. And I can still picture all of them just going, ugh, why? Which I think is a pretty good question. One I don't have a really great answer for other than that's just the way it is. They want things to happen, and they want it to happen now. The older I get, the more I want God to come and fix all this stuff. The more I want this to happen, the more I want Him to reappear, whatever that looks like, and wrap it all up. Because the older I get, the more I've had to go through the funerals of people I love and value. The more I have to see the consequences of my own sin and other people's sin. And the more I see this as a world that could be so much better, but in the current situation we'll never get there. And if I allow myself to, I can find this demoralizing, and I can, in a sense, sort of give up, and I can say, well, it's not really going to make sense till God fixes all this stuff, so what good can I do? And I think that's a pretty normal and a pretty human response. And we all go through that now and then when we're tired, or when that project or whatever it was that we thought would work out so well turned out to, well, it just didn't. And we don't want to live there. And one of the things that helps us not live there is knowing that at some point this will be wrapped up and fixed up. We don't know when. We know what it will look like, at least in broad strokes. That's one of the things that I find so interesting, where Paul says, but you, sisters and brothers, are not in the darkness. So this day, whenever it happens, should not surprise you like a thief. We're not going to be surprised in the same way that other people will, whatever that looks like when it all comes together. In the same way that, you know, we are surprised by pleasant things, but we're not surprised by the people who do them for us. I was surprised that Haley came home with flowers for me a couple of days ago. But I wasn't shocked. She does this every year on the anniversary of my dad's death. It's just one of those things. For whatever reason, a couple of years ago, it hit both of us even harder than usual. And that's just part of the rhythms of life. And we had a very tender and precious moment, if you will, when it was just the two of us at home, and we just realized that both of us were really missing my dad, and we just cried together, and she went out and bought me flowers. It was just a delightful thing. I mean, I was surprised when she came in with flowers, because I didn't expect it. But I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised in a, how could this be? And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying that when God comes back and wraps up everything, if we're here to experience it, we're going to be surprised that it happened now, but we're not surprised that it happened at all. Because we have a sense of confidence in a God who provides meaning and will provide ultimate meaning for us. So we don't need to know when, because we know it will happen. If we want, we can get all wrapped up in the setting of times and dates. And I've never really understood that, because in the Bible it says pretty clearly that nobody knows. So I'm not quite sure why we think we'll be able to figure that out. When Jesus says, I don't know, and nobody else knows, it seems an odd hobby to try and figure out something that Jesus didn't know. But the fact that we don't know the exact details doesn't change the ultimate reality that we know that this will, at some point, everything will be collected together. And at that point, everything will make sense. And we will experience a world that we see first in Genesis, and we see referenced in the prophets, we see alluded to in the Gospels, and we see in a very strange sort of way in Revelation. We see a world that isn't characterized by brokenness and sin. We see a world where we won't lose the people we love, that we won't have to watch those that we care about get old and break down. Sometimes we see that best when we look in the mirror. But that won't be part of it. And the fact that we don't know when doesn't change the essential comfort that that brings. If I was convinced completely that life was fundamentally meaningless, that it had no point, I honestly don't know if I'd be able to go on. And that's just me. That's my personality. If there was no sense, if it was all just a collection of random things, I don't think that would be enough for me to keep going. What Paul is reminding us here, that's not the case. In this passage and in others through Scripture, we see over and over again that God has told us clearly that he loves his creation and he loves the people in it. And he's not telling us everything at this point. We don't know why. We still don't know why a loving God allows suffering at all. But we see enough in Scripture to realize that this makes sense to God, not because he's cruel, not because he's indifferent, but because he sees things in a different way than we do. And in the same way that we can't always explain to our loved ones, particularly our children, but sometimes just to the people we care about, we can't always explain what things mean, or we can't always come up with an explanation that's satisfying to them. When you tell your kids or your grandkids that it's 16 days till Christmas today instead of 17 like it was yesterday, you've told them something that's completely true. It doesn't make anything better as far as they're concerned. At some point, I firmly believe that we will understand the larger picture. We don't now, but we understand that the larger picture is understood by God and will be understandable by us at some point. And we continue moving forward because that's who we are. We're called to be people of faith who walk forward knowing that a loving God cares for us and that this makes sense for him. And we take confidence in that, and that's enough for us to continue moving forward. In the same way that when we're walking through a dark forest, or we're walking through what seems to be a dangerous place, with a competent guide, we just do what the guide says. The end of all things should never be something that makes us afraid. I think that's what I took from those movies and things when I was younger, and from a lot of well-meaning people who came and spoke in the churches I grew up in, was that the end of all things was something that was really scary. And it's not. The end of all things is when God comes bringing complete and perfect justice, tempered with his complete and perfect mercy. We don't know what it will look like, but we know that it's nothing that we need to be frightened about. We don't know when it will come, but we know that it will come, no matter what. If it comes today, that will be wonderful. If it comes before I have to drive back in a windy, cold day, that's even better. If it comes after I'm gone, it's still coming. The comfort that we have in knowing that God will return, that he will wrap up this world in a way that brings sense and meaning to everything that's ever happened, to me is comforting. Because we don't need to know when we know that it will come. And we do. The witness of Scripture is clear, that while we don't know when, we know what. And I think knowing what is a lot more important than knowing when. Amen.